This is the Marketing Development Podcast, brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy, the online community designed to help you develop your marketing business, skills, and career by exploring the world of marketing and entrepreneurship. Here is your host, Pete Everett.
Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today I'm joined all the way from the land down under by Mr. Nick Gulick. Nick, welcome to the show.
G'day, thanks for having me.
Oh, you started with g'day. Yes!
That's just for you, Pete.
Thanks, mate. Nick and I are friends. I go as far as calling us friends. We've known each other for...
I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but, you know.
All right, this has just turned into a relationship counselling session. Brilliant. Nick and I are friends. We've known each other for probably 6 or 8 months now, I guess. Heading for a year anyway. And Nick's just a top bloke. So he offered to come on the show, and he's got certain things I would love to talk to him about. So Nick, before I murder any more of an intro for you, do you want to tell the ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls at home, who you are, where you're from, what you do?
Sure. Okay. So my name is Nick Gulick. I run a small-ish web and marketing agency in Sydney, Australia, and also do a little bit of coaching and mentoring in the web space.
Cool. That's nice and concise, and certainly a lot more concise than I could have got it. So Nick, you run an agency called Creative Click. You're a client of ours at SEO Hive. And I know that you've been on a bit of a journey in order to get to Creative Click. So do you want to sort of fill us back in on that time machine a little bit about sort of how that came about? I know your background was originally in sales. So a little bit about that journey would be great.
Sure. So I was actually an accountant in a past life. And then I moved from accounting to sales for an accounting practice. And they don't normally employ salespeople a lot of times. Usually it's the accountants that work there that bring extra clients on. Mm-hmm. So these guys were quite forward thinking, and they really wanted to really, I guess, crush their growth. And they were struggling to grow. These guys were actually doing outsourcing. So they had an offshore office back before there was the cloud, before there was any of this. There was no Dropbox. Dropbox wasn't even invented yet. So before Dropbox, I was selling accounting work being done overseas, which is crazy. People did not understand or trust that. And so my job was to grow their business. And they went, while I was doing sales, they went from roughly probably about $250,000 a year revenue to about $5 million while I was the sole salesperson per year. Wow. Recurring. I got quite good at sales in that time. I mean, I don't think of it as sales, but I got good at getting clients on board. So we were getting anywhere from 20 to 30 clients a month, which for an accounting firm is pretty astronomical.
Well, if you think about that through sort of working days, that's one a day, essentially, just over one a day. That's some good rate on the fees that they charge. That's pretty good going.
Yeah, these guys were a bit more on the budget end of things. So the average client was, the minimum client would be worth probably about $5,000 a year. But, you know, I was closing deals at $150,000 a year plus as well. So there were some high value ones in there. So did that for a while, hit a point where when you work for someone else, where it kind of needs to go one direction or another. And the direction I wanted it to go in was where I became a part owner based on my involvement with the company, and the business owner maybe didn't quite want that to happen. So I ended up walking away after about 7 years of that place. I was general manager at the time. And then I started a consulting practice, and I did consulting for marketing, sales, for businesses, helping them make their millions as well, which was going pretty well for a while. I started to get a bit disillusioned with it. You know, sometimes you're just helping rich people get richer. The small business people couldn't really afford me. It got a bit difficult to just keep going with it. I just wasn't really enjoying it anymore. So started doing websites on the side just for fun. Turned out I was actually quite good at it, because when you know marketing and you know sales and you know what people need to see in order to make a purchase, when you're doing a website, you can put all that on there and then, hey, that website does better. You know, when you're like, hey, you know, you're doing ads, this is what you need to have on a website so your ads will convert, and you do it and they get better results. And so I started getting some really good results for people, and I was just doing, you know, basically WordPress page builder. I was using Beaver Builder at the time. Pretty simple stuff, nothing too complicated, but it was working really well. Then I partnered up with someone, and in hindsight, probably not the best move, because he was a very high-end guy, high-end design, high-end development, hated WordPress, was really like, no, everything's custom, and did that for about 2 years, and was selling very high-cost websites, high-fee websites, so very big ticket. And, you know, they were quite good, you know, and they, same principles, still got really good results. Were they much better than what I was doing before? Hey, look-wise, sure. Result-wise, eh. But things were taking forever, had a team to manage, you know, all the problems with scaling, you know, trying to find a team, trying to optimize processes, making sure you're making enough money. And it wasn't really going so well, and kind of got a bit depressed for a while. Wasn't happy. And that was about 6 months of just really solid depression before I went, nah, I need to change something. And so I wanted to talk to him about me leaving and starting something separate. And he, when I said that, he said, no, I want to leave. So I'm like, okay. So he left. I ended up firing the entire team and went to doing the same thing I was doing before, just doing it all myself. And that was actually really, really good. So profit went up. I was a lot happier, felt back in control, and then started looking at, okay, how do I leverage myself better and my time better without necessarily going and hiring a team, because managing a team isn't something I really want to do with my time. I enjoy talking to people. I enjoy that whole sales process. I enjoy educating people. I really enjoy that stuff, but I don't enjoy doing all the work. And you know, you're actually a big, big part of that process as well, because you launched SEO Hive. I'm like, oh, fantastic. I'm doing SEO work and I don't want to do SEO work anymore. And so I moved all the clients over. For the listeners, it's been about 4 months, 5 months, and every single client is very, very happy with the improvements in their results, because I was doing okay. But now things are a lot more consistent and the growth is a lot better. So if you were thinking about SEO Hive, it gets a double thumbs up from Nick Gulick.
Thank you. You're going to make me blush.
No, no probs. Just looks, slip me the money later.
You weren't supposed to mention that on the recording.
So that was great, because I got to basically get rid of the SEO work and have been now going through that process with the actual web design work, which is a little bit harder. So I've got some developers that can do development, which is fine, and I can send work to, and I'm still doing the design work, and they can do the builds. But looking at now getting rid of that as well, and then focusing purely on strategy. Mm-hmm. So the idea is, I just want to do the stuff that I really enjoy. You know, I've done the stuff I haven't enjoyed, and it's not great. I did get depressed. I did get down, and really burnt out on doing business. So yeah, now it's just do things I enjoy, and I really enjoy teaching people stuff. So whether that's clients or whether that's, you know, even people in the industry. So I kind of want to put a bit more energy into that.
Cool. And I know there's a whole load of sort of facets to that as well. One thing that I sort of wanted to pick up on, I suppose, a little bit before we get onto the next part of the story, which I already know what's coming up. But the when people start businesses, they often think one of two things: either they have to do it all themselves, or that they have to do stuff because it needs to be done, and therefore they end up doing stuff that they don't like doing. Which is essentially, you've kind of said through your story, you've ended up with both sides of that coin at different times. And we had this with, when we put together SEO Hive, was, you know, how the hell do you productize SEO? It's such a big thing. It's, you know, but just because something's hard to do doesn't mean that it can't be done. And I think you've, on the podcast before, I've talked about understanding what success looks like in your business. And you've obviously, you've tried a few things, you've been burnt a couple of times, you've had, you know, it's got you down for a period. But actually now you know that you want a company that's based around you, that serves you. And then in order to make that work, that means I need to get rid of this bit, rid of that bit, rid of the other bit. It's going to take me some time to do that, but you've got that picture in place because this is the element that I want to work on. I think that's quite an inspirational thing to process, to be going through.
Yeah. Look, it's definitely a journey. And one, I guess, key thing that I've learned over, I don't know, I've been in business now like five, six years and worked for other people for a long time too. When you're operating in your sweet spot, in the stuff that you're best at, and you don't have to worry about the stuff that brings you down, you can make some real magic happen. Every time I end up working on a project that I'm not enjoying, it slows me down. I get stuck on it and I end up, you know, sitting there looking at the screen for ages. And it takes me, you know, 5 hours to do something that should have been done in about 20 minutes or so, because I really am not enjoying it. And I just keep trying to put it off and I keep allowing myself to get distracted. But when I'm doing the stuff I really enjoy, there's no distractions. I'm focused. I'll work on something for 5 hours, but I'll get, you know, 20 hours worth of work, you know, being done essentially.
Yeah.
And, you know, that goes back to the 80-20 rule as well. You know, 20% of your activity generates 80% of the results.
Yep.
So if you can work in that 20% and get rid of everything else and just do more of the 20%, you know, if you do 40% of your time on the 20% stuff, then instead of getting 80% of the results, you might get 160% of the results. And it's like, that's more than 100%. That's amazing, right? So the more you work in your sweet spot, the better off you're going to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That's that. And it sounds so simple. It is harder to do, but it's not unachievable. And I think people often need to try and find the way of prioritizing things, because often I think where people struggle with this is that they say, oh, it's great for Nick, he figured this out like 3 years ago, he's 3 years down the line, he's you know, figured it out, he knows what he's doing, he's got his plan. I've got all this to do and I've still got clients biting down my neck and I don't really know where to begin, so I'm not going to begin. And that, for me, that sort of doesn't compute somehow. If you can figure out your priorities, just get that plan in place, and have that sort of tick list and put it somewhere obvious. Whether that's my wife, when she's doing a sort of, she always has a list in the kitchen of all of the stuff that she wants to do that year that is important to her. And that could be renovate something in the house. It could be run a marathon. It could be a whole load of stuff, but it's on the list. Yeah. But it's in the kitchen and she sees it every day. She sees it multiple times every day. It's not on her phone. It's not buried in Evernote or wherever. It's obvious it's in front of her. And the more that you start to see that, so just create your list essentially, and then you can start figuring out how the action steps work after that. I think that's really the advice.
I used to coach people through this stuff when I had the consulting practice, how to move away from doing all the things. And I mean, there was a guy, he was working 7 days, 7 days a week, full days. Wife, kids didn't see him. And he ran a restaurant. And he was like, Nick, there's no options here. I can't, you know, optimize anything. No. I need to do it all. And you know, had all the excuses. And we worked together, I think it was about a month. After a month, we had him down to working. No, sorry, it was 2 months in. So 2 months of working together, we had him down to working 4 days a week from seven. You know, and he got to do, I think it was, he got to also go and do Wednesday afternoon tennis lesson with his wife. They were saying they wanted to do it together. And he started going to the gym and had a personal trainer at the gym. And that was like such a big achievement for him to be able to get to that point. You can get through this stuff. And like you said, it's about listing things out. What are the things that I have to do? And then, okay, what are the things actually out of this that I want to do? And what are the things that I have to do? And what do I hate? Because anything you hate, if you can get rid of that, even if it's the thing that makes you the most money, but you get rid of the things you hate and you become happier and things become more easy to manage, you know, and just find a way that, you know, these are the things that make me money. This is how I can still make money off them. These are the things that will then lead to the money.
Yep.
You know, and it could be that you love doing development. Great. You know, you might offer development to agencies and, you know, let them sell the jobs and you just do the work, right? And bang, you're working in your sweet spot. It could be that you like selling, all right? You find a white label agency to do the work and then, you know, you sell, right? Find what it is. And it does start by prioritizing. It does start by putting the list together. And yeah, it's a real interesting, I mean, we could go an entire, you know, episode on this if you really want to. It's a big topic.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, to be honest, I think that's kind of the idea that's got like a show in itself written all over it, yeah. Where we say, hey, this is Nick. He was on episode whatever. Go listen to that if you want to hear about Nick. We're going to talk about this now. So yeah, let's arrange that. That'd be cool. So you've recently launched the Sell by Helping course. So, and that's kind of come around or come about off the back of Agency Transformation Live, which you were a speaker at, and I was a speaker at. It's my second time. I'm just saying that, Haley.
Nice.
You know, just giving him a push.
Let's see if you make number three then.
Oh, the gauntlet!
You were a moderator. You moderated the event. You were co-hosting.
I was very honored with that. Actually, yeah. Lee invited two of us to co-host with him. Just because it was literally a live event that was on for like 9 hours a day for 2 days. It was, you know, so he could literally have a break from time to time. He invited a couple of us just to do some of the links. The thing that he dropped on me, though, that I wasn't expecting was for me to intro me. That was a little bit of a surprise. It's like, yeah, you know, how to not be humble 101 by Lee Jackson.
Yeah. In the deep end.
So, no, that was a great event. But as a result of that, you've launched the Sell by Helping course, and there's two parts of this story that are brilliant. So firstly, I mean, do you want to go through kind of the premise of the course and where it came from, and then we'll go into how you actually sold it in a minute?
Okay. The premise was it's essentially how I sell. So I've always got great results from selling. You know, when every time I've been in a sales role or sales position, I've just somehow got great results. But the thing is, it's not some magic thing, right? There's a system. You know, early on, every time things weren't working, I was like, why isn't this working? How about I try this? You know, read a lot of books about sales techniques and stuff like that. And learnt by trying, you know, trial and error. And I realized that you can't sell stuff. If you try to sell people know and they resist, right? And it's like you go to like you imagine, you know, in the movies, like the 80s movies, and you got the sleazy used car salesman. No, you know, the fast, slick talking. And I didn't like that. It's not me. I'm just a normal guy. And I like to talk to people and make friends. So I kind of just approached my sales meetings like that. I'm there to have a conversation. I'm there to figure out what these guys are looking for. And if you know, what they're looking for is what we do, then I could tell them, hey, we do that and we can help you. And things really worked very, very well. And I started realizing that I was kind of helping them. A lot of times they would thank me for my time. And I was like, why are they thanking me? I sold them into this service. And it was because they got some clarity around what they were looking for. And I was usually educating them on stuff that other people weren't. I kind of end up, I don't know, maybe from being, I'm the oldest child in my family. So maybe I'm used to lecturing everyone, but I'd kind of, you know, go into meetings, I'll be telling you stuff, and then I'll just say, hey, listen, this is why what you just said isn't working, and this is what other people are probably telling you that you should do, and here's why they're wrong. And people were going, wow, I didn't know that, I didn't think of that. And so they were walking out of meetings going, man, I learned so much there, or oh, wow, what a smart guy, and whatever, and I'd get the sale. And I never really had to sit there and do sales techniques and whatever. I'd actively, if someone tried to put me in that position where they wanted me to try to sell them and convince them, I'd say, no, convince yourself. I'll tell you what we do. And then you could say if it works for you or not. Well, I'll tell you if I think it's going to work for you or not, but I'm not going to try to convince you to do it. So yeah, that's kind of the premise, right? And so the Sell by Helping course is basically the framework of what I do in my sales meetings, and works pretty well. So, you know, I've had people that, because I do a little bit of coaching still, and generally people in the industry, the people that I ran through this stuff, like via coaching and just like tweaking their sales process, they're getting amazing results. So I was like, yeah, okay, look, I'll talk about it. And then ended up getting received really well. So led to doing a course about it. So the course was not planned, as a heads up for people listening. That was not a thing that I ever thought I was going to do. I was quite content running my little agency.
So as with any good salesman or any good entrepreneur with an idea like this, you then wanted to validate the idea. So you put together a sales page for the course that didn't exist to see if it was going to have any legs. Yeah. And you put together a mad offer where you offered it for $100 for your entire course just to see if anybody would actually put their hand in their pocket and give you some money for it. And do you want to just, I won't spoil the end of the story, but you just want to sort of run us through how
that came about. Let me go back a little step, right? Let me preface this, right, with how it all came about. So Lee was running Agency Transformation Live, mm-hmm. and that was meant to be a physical event, and then he had to go digital, and we were talking about it. And he invited me to speak, and it wasn't like I wasn't a planned well in advance speaker. I was kind of a, hey, can you get me a talk in the next couple of days speaker. I'm like, oh, okay, I will need to come up with a talk. And I went, okay, well, I seem to do okay in sales. I feel comfortable teaching that stuff. So I'll just write out my sales process. So I did a presentation on that. And so when it actually came to my presentation, and it was, yeah, 25, I've tried to teach people how to sell in 25 minutes. It wasn't the easiest thing to do. I had to cut a lot of stuff out. And as I was doing it, I was going, you know, this could be a course worth of information. Like there's a lot of information here. And so anyway, I did the presentation and people were really responding well to it. You know, I was really nervous because there were some really amazing presentations there. And then the amount of people commenting on my one was unbelievable. I'm like, wow. These people like this. And, you know, you're getting people like Dave Foy and Mike Killen and, you know, the really sort of well-known, if you're in the, you know, web industry and you're in the WordPress space, especially people, you know, were saying, wow, that's gold and that's amazing. And I was sweating buckets going, holy crap, this is working. People aren't telling me that I'm an idiot. Okay. And so it went really, really well. And I had a lot of people message me and say, you should do a course. You should do a course. You should do a course. And I'm like, I'm not one of those guys. I'm not a course guy. You know, I'm not some online entrepreneur guy. I run an agency. And then I had someone message me and say, hey, Nick, the stuff you spoke about at Agency Transformation Live, I used those techniques and I closed a $9,000 website in the meeting, which I've never, that doesn't happen. I don't close in the meeting, especially not at that level. That's usually months of back and forth to get to that point. It works. This is amazing. You better do a course. And I went, wow. Okay. I'm like, all right, well, you know what? I'll test it. And Matt Davies from Funnel Packs was pushing me really hard. And so I, one night, it was midnight, and I had got my daughter to sleep. And I went, you know what? I'm pretty wired. I'm going to jump on. I'm going to create a sales page for this. And I had him egging me on in Messenger. And I ended up building a sales page. It took me a couple of hours. Made it live. I sent Matt the link, and I went to bed. And he shared it to a couple of different people, and sales started coming through. And I was thinking it's going to take me like a month to get maybe 10, 20 sales. And I thought if I hit 20, I'll build it. 20 people saying yes, like, you know, it's different. People tell you, yeah, do this and I'll buy it. And you know, when it comes to the crunch, they don't buy it. And so it got sales and sold pretty well. And I think I'm sitting on like, I don't know, should I share the number?
You can do. If you're happy sharing the number, yeah. All right.
Yeah, look, I'm sitting on, I think, 196 sales. and I'm like, wow, I never had an email list and I never had any marketing. I haven't shared it anywhere like other people have. And, you know, and look, I don't know. I think it's a lot of the feedback I got when people were buying it was, because I am quite active on Facebook and in the groups and I try to help a lot of people and I like to give advice. And I tend to be very practical about it and to the point. People were like, oh, Nick's helped me so much. Of course I'm going to buy this. Nick gives great advice. Of course, I'm going to buy this. And then you get someone like, I think a couple people shared in their groups, and some like Dave Foy, actually, big shout out to Dave Foy, who did a walkthrough live in his group of my sales page. And I think I had like 30 people buy in an hour. You know, Matt shared to his email list and in the group, and you know, and I was getting really emotional because I'm like, wow, this is like, I'm not used to stuff like this happening. I'm not used to people helping me out and, you know, and wanting nice things for me, you know, in terms of business background. Everyone's kind of stuffed me around a little bit, you know, historically, you know, work didn't want to play ball with giving me equity. Business partner was doing some shady stuff on the side, and yeah, like, wow, this is really, really nice. And so, you know, wasn't selling. I didn't try to sell it. I didn't sit there and be overly promotional. All I did is I said, look, I'm going to do it for $100 on a pre-sale. What I launch will be more than $100. I don't know how much more. I was actually thinking originally to sell it for about $500. I'm thinking it's probably going to be less now just because of COVID. And I don't really want to, you know, like I make money off my agency. I don't need to make a fortune off selling a course. So like I can sort of keep that relatively low, not too low, because I want people to actually value it and actually do the course. But yeah, I'll probably keep it around 300 for launch while COVID's running. And then once it's all done, I'll up that maybe I won't. But yeah, so that's kind of the story. Yeah.
Cool. So if people, because the course is still open for registration now, you've, have you it's delivered the, any of it yet?
There's a module one, is released, and then immediately after module one, you know, the whole concept of let me get a developer to do work for me while I do this, that backfired, and I had to basically redo a directory site that a developer had done for me. And so for about 3.5 weeks, I was working on a site that I'd paid someone else to do. And then I had to also do it, to deliver it, because, you know, ultimately, I'm not going to deliver garbage. Like, I need it needs to be good. So yeah, now I'm back to creating the next module. I really wanted to do like weekly releases. That did not happen. But module one's done. First module is about the mindset behind all of this stuff. It's had really good feedback, which I like. And yeah, module two goes into the actual stuff within the meeting.
There you go.
It gets interesting. Yeah. So I was hoping this week, but I think I'm not going to have it finished this week. So next week will be module two release.
Well, so actually when we're recording
actually, by this, the time you go live,
well,
by the time you go live, who knows?
I was going to say, actually, so this episode is going to be live about next Monday. So that's what, 5 days after recording. So it'll be this week.
This week. Okay. So yeah. So this week I should be releasing module two.
Perfect.
So, yeah, the price has gone up from pre-sale. So that pre-sale was like early bird type thing. So it's sitting on 200 at the moment. It will then go up once all the modules are released.
But it is still awesome value for cash, even at that price. You know, at $500, it'd be awesome value for cash. I have bought it. I did pay $100 for it. But I have bought it, and I've been through, I've sort of skimmed through module one, and, you know, as you can tell from Nick's presentation on the podcast, he's very easygoing. He's kind of, you know, he's softly spoken. He's not one of these guys that's going to sort of shout through the camera at you, or shout, you know, down the internet and sort of tell you that you have to do it this way and you have to do it that way. It is very much a guide, and it gives you the freedom to, at the end of the day, you're still you. I don't mean that Nick's obviously Nick's still Nick, but you know, whoever you are that's listening, you are still you. So you need to be able to take these concepts, but still be yourself in the meetings and in the process. And it gives you the freedom to do that. So no, mate, it's a great, great job. And I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of it roll out.
Me too.
So do you want to go and where can people find the course? What's the link? How can they get
to it? So it's nickgulick.com/sellbyhill. I think if you just go to nickgulick.com, there's like a menu and there's like a course is on there. And like, I think it says course, you can click on it.
I love the fact that you don't actually know the address to your own course. I think that's
It has little dashes in it. Like, I don't know. I wasn't thinking. I just created the page and, you know, like it automatically does the URL for it. If I was smarter, I would have just Nick Gulick/course But actually, that's a bad move, because what happens if I create another course in the future?
Well, you know, you could create a redirect, just FYI.
That's true. You know,
just something well, that's...
Yeah. So look, guys, if you go to nicoluke.com, there's a menu. Click on course in the menu and it will take you to the sales page if you're interested in reading about it. You don't have to. On that sales page, actually, for a lot of people, I've put my presentation from Agency Transformation Live on there. It was a YouTube. I end up uploading the recording to YouTube. And so I was really stunned that people were buying the course, because it's like you can watch the presentation, and if you don't, especially if you don't have the money, watch the presentation. Like, I mean, it runs through everything. Like, you could take that and make it your own, just from that. You don't have to buy. Like, yeah. But you know, if you want to, hey, great.
Mate, don't put people off too much. All right.
I will. I actually, one of my things, I prefer that if someone is buying something, it's because they really want to buy it, not because they feel either FOMO or they feel like, you know, some sort of, this is going to be the thing that will solve it. Watch the video first. I mean, I put it on there for a reason. People can watch it. And if they like it and if they're like, cool, I want more than this, buy. If you don't need more than this, don't buy. I mean, it's a really binary decision. Or if you don't want to watch the video and you're like, nah, this guy's annoying, then don't. Just close it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's yeah. You know, funnily enough, this links back to something that we were talking to in the pre-chat about, you know, selling to people. There's a sort of concept, I suppose. People aren't necessarily comfortable with sales, panic a lot around sales, and they either then sell something that they don't really know how to do just to make the sale, because they want the money and they want the whole sales process to be over as fast as possible, or they end up committing to things that aren't necessarily deliverable, and that's not a good place to be either. So you're kind of practicing what you preach with this, actually, which is, you know, part of the sales process is actually you being comfortable with the customer becoming your customer, through it. And you're just doing a digitized version of that on your own sales page. If you don't like me, don't give me money. It's not, you know, that's a far easier conversation to have when your livelihood isn't relying on every sale. I'm fully aware of that. But
yeah, I mean, I broke all the rules as well. Like, you know, like, oh, end your pricing in a 7. Nope, not going to do that. you know, like scarcity and countdown timers. The only time I put a countdown timer was when I was actually going to up the fee, and only because I told people I'd give them notice. I'm like, better let them know. You know, like, I don't want someone who was expecting it to be $100 and then goes to my page and say, oh, hang on a second, now it's 200. What the hell? So I put a thing. Did a little like alert, hey guys, it is going to go up. So if you did want to buy it at 100, you can, but don't feel obligated. He's very polite, like, don't feel obligated.
You're so British, you Australian.
Look, man, I don't like to feel like I'm pressuring anyone, and I don't want anyone to feel pressured, because I came from the coaching industry and consulting. You don't understand. I joined masterminds, and I'm not talking about like a low couple of $100 a month. I'm talking a couple of $1,000 a month masterminds, and where they teach you all this sales stuff. And I've done sales training, and I've gone through the ones where that it is about manipulation and why, and especially in the coaching space, it's huge on how to get people to want to commit. And there are a lot of tricks and stuff that they use. And so I hate all that. And that goes against everything I believe in. So I'm like, well, you know, what I'm going to teach is going to be the ethical stuff that I can sleep at night, knowing that I'm putting that into the world, that if someone does it, they can sleep at night knowing that they're not going out and doing, you know, something unnatural, or they don't turn around and go, this asshole ripped me off and sold me this thing, and it's all about being a scammer. I want to have something that really works for them and, you know, is natural. The people who don't respond well to the gurus and the, you know, hey, here's your 7-figure agency model stuff. In the coaching space, it is unbelievable how bad that is, all that stuff. So I went, nope, not doing any of that.
Yep.
Sorry. Yeah. You know, I'll talk people out of buying, and I have, I know I have, but you know, I prefer that they really, really convinced, and really want, to do it, but also don't need it. Because if, you know, if they're expecting a magic bullet, that's usually not, not a thing that exists.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I've, this year is the first year I've been part of a mastermind group for my business. And I was always really, there didn't seem to be anything in the middle. It was kind of like, okay, so you either kind of go to three conferences a year and figure it out, or you get a kind of business mentor in, but he normally wants some kind of non-exec type role in your business to actually not just tell you what to do, but to make you do what he wants you to do. Or you spend, as you say, like $2,000-$4,000 a month and go to one of these gurus, in inverted commas.
Yeah.
And to be honest, their sales process is terrible. You don't really, yeah, you know, you don't really know what you're going to get. Like, hey, yeah, come to come to our four retreats a year in, somewhere Cabo, where you've got to pay for everything. And so it's, all of a sudden you're just looking at this bill that's getting bigger and saying, but actually I still don't really know what I'm going to get. Yep.
And you, and because they're selling the, what they sell is they sell outcomes. And so I always ask about logistics. I always ask about the reality and the program and what's covered. And if they're focusing on outcomes and that's all they're focusing on, then you're not getting detail on the other stuff. It's because the other stuff is light. And
yeah,
you know, I disagree with a lot of commonly held marketing knowledge because a lot of it is theory that doesn't really work except for on suckers.
This year I signed up to the there's a group, well it's an international thing, it's held online, it's called an incubator group, and it kind of hit that mid spot. It was, I'll be honest with the price, it was £1,000 a quarter, so $4,000 for the year, but it has that monthly check-in thing. It has 4 events throughout the year. They were going to be in person.
Is this run by a POMI guy in another country?
Yeah.
Okay, well, cool.
In my country.
Yeah. No, he doesn't live in your country anymore.
He does. He's moved back.
Oh, you moved back. Wow. Okay.
Yeah,
there you go.
So anyway, if people want details about it, I'll happily talk about it. But that's the, but I've got quite a lot out of that. But it was the first thing that I found that hit the balance between knowing what you were going to, knowing what they were going to deliver versus giving you the coaching, but still giving you the freedom to get on with being yourself, a lot like we've been talking. And it didn't cost an absolute arm and a leg, and to be perfectly frank, SEO Hive didn't come as a direct result of being part of the incubator, but just so the first quarter, my focus on the incubator was to make my agency far more streamlined, so I had the time to launch SEO Hive. COVID then hit and sped that process up by quite a lot, but that's just the way the world went. SEO Hive it was already an idea in inception, but the delivery of it has certainly been helped by that. So yeah, it's been a great experience for me. And I've been amazed how much I've got out of it actually. Cause the other thing with masterminds is you kind of think, right, so you're going to put me in a round a table with 8 other people and you're going to give me 30 minutes. So that means I'm going to have to help for 3.5 hours. I'm going to have to help other people with their 30 minutes just to get my 30 minutes back. And it all seems a bit skewed, but actually I've been amazed how much I've got out of helping other people.
Yep.
And also the help that other people have given the other people is the stuff that
you learn from that
as well. So the actual process of masterminding has been sold on me, I suppose, more than actually the coaching or the incubator program or whatever.
In the right group, in the right mastermind, you can get a lot out of it. And in the wrong one where it's not really a mastermind and it's more of a group coaching arrangement, they can often not be as great. And so it really depends. A lot of the high price masterminds, what you find, the really big ticket ones, people, when you ask them the thing they enjoy the most, and they'll always say community, oh, the community. And that's how they keep them in. And it's like, yeah, that's not worth, you know, $3,000 a month, that community. No. I mean, maybe it is if you're turning over a couple of million a year. Sure. I mean, it's a small chunk. It's tiny. But you know, at that level, I mean, well, you know, I'm not at that level, so I don't know.
But yeah. So anyway, that was a complete tangent.
Yeah.
Sideways. But no.
Okay.
Mate, it's been great talking to you. So you're really active in our Facebook group, which I thoroughly appreciate. But if people don't want to just jump in our group and tag you and stuff, how can they get hold of you?
Okay. So Twitter, Nick Gorlick on Twitter. Honestly, the group probably is the best way. I'm generally not that accessible. Like, I don't even have contact details on my website. There's no contact form or anything because I don't want people to contact me. I'm busy. So, now look, it is probably the best way is to message within the group or something, or hit me up there if you really want to. If you have questions about stuff, I generally do give a lot of knowledge away. So, ask a public question in the group. Especially if it's about selling, and I'm probably going to chime in with an answer that is hopefully going to be helpful. So,
yeah. Mate, that's awesome. Really appreciate your time. Thanks so much for speaking to us, and we'll arrange that with the show for sure.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Cheers, mate.
Okay.